Today's scripture comes from Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. As he said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Thank you, Ephraim. Thank you, Children's Choir, for that beautiful, beautiful song. As we heard, it was early in the morning. Not the bright, fresh morning of a new day, but that fragile hour when the light is still uncertain. The kind of morning that comes after a long night of grief, when you haven't really slept and the questions won't quiet down. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. That's what the scripture says. Simple as that. They went to see. They didn't go expecting joy. They didn't go looking for angels or glory. They went to face the harsh truth that Jesus, the one they had followed, the one who had healed, loved, and changed everything, was gone. They had, I imagine, lost faith. But they hadn't lost hope. You know what it's like to lose faith. We all do. Sometimes it's a fracture caused by disappointment when someone we trusted lets us down. Or sometimes it's losing faith in society itself when corruption and indifference to suffering seem to run the day. There are seasons when even faith in God seems to slip away. Not all at once, but slowly. Like sand through your fingers. It can happen after a devastating loss, a sudden illness, the shattering of a relationship, or the relentless weariness of living in a world that seems to keep falling apart. If that's how you're feeling today, a little short on faith, that's okay. You are welcome here. This winter, I think that many of us knew that kind of spiritual exhaustion. We buried our share of sorrows. We watched the systems of empire rise to new heights of injustice, discrimination, and violence here in our state, particularly at the expense of our immigrant neighbors. We wrestled with our own weariness as the circumstances demanded more resilience than we had to give. And yet, we didn't lose hope. We may have questioned or doubted or grieved, but something in us, something like the women who walked through that pre-dawn darkness, refused to give up on love. Refused to give up on the possibility that God wasn't finished yet. That's the power of Easter. It's God saying to every weary, heartbroken, disillusioned soul, you may lose faith for a while, but see, the tomb is empty. Hope never dies. Because I am alive and I am still here. Sometimes it takes a little something for the message to get through to us. A little shock and awe, I think, is the biblical term for that. Matthew's version of Easter morning doesn't unfold quietly. No gentle breeze, no peaceful sunrise, no marshmallow peeps hopping about. No, this is more like an earthquake. Literally, first the earth shakes. Then the angel descends with a blinding light. The guards faint from fear, and the stone, the heavy, immovable symbol of death's finality, is rolled away. The women are terrified, and rightly so. Heavy with the weight of faith-crushing grief, they were expecting to visit a grave, not witness a cosmic upheaval. But that's the surprise of resurrection. It doesn't gently reassure us. It shocks us awake. It refuses to let the world remain as it was. Easter is not God whispering, there, there. Easter is God shaking the foundations and saying, wake up! There is more to this story than you dared to imagine. We know what it's like to feel like the forces are working against life, against goodness, against decency, yet it is all just too much. The first disciples lived under Roman rule, the greatest empire the world had ever seen, a regime that enforced peace with the threat of crucifixion. We too know the pressure of an authoritarian government that seems immovable, an economy that sacrifices the poor, politics driven by vengeance, leaders who bend and bury the truth even when American lives are taken in our streets and in armed conflict around the world, as if human beings themselves can be sacrificed to keep control. Like those early followers, we can start to believe that the power of empire, in whatever form it takes, is just too great to overcome. We start to swallow the lie that we are weak and alone, that nothing can be done to stop the pain. Sometimes I worry that even we in the church have quietly stopped believing that the good news can actually change the world. We still show up for justice, we organize, we speak out, and all of that is good and necessary. But somewhere along the way, we've let too many loud voices wed religion to empire and call it Christianity. So, do we still trust that the risen Christ is truly alive and at work? That the story of his life and death and resurrection still has the power to turn hearts around and remake communities, even when everything around us insists that hope is lost? After the angel's astonishing announcement, he is not here, he has been raised, the women run from the tomb. They're terrified. The text says, yet filled with great joy. What a combination. Fear and joy running together, hearts pounding, minds reeling, and then another surprise. Jesus himself meets them. Not in some lofty vision or heavenly blaze, but right there on the dusty road. He says one simple greeting. Ta-da! Or maybe better translated, hello there. I love that. The risen Christ greets them like a friend showing up unexpectedly. In that one word, the universe shifts, and yet it feels so intimate and so personal. They fall to their knees, clutching his feet like they might never let go. And Jesus tells them, do not be afraid. Amidst the shock and awe, something happened that first Easter. A devastated, frightened little community became bold, hope-filled, prophetic messengers of the risen Christ. They did not talk themselves into that courage. Resurrection did that to them. And for 2,000 years since, despite all the failures and sins of the organized church, this good news has continued to ripple out, to impact our world for the good like nothing else ever has, changing laws, inspiring movements, shaping art and music, stretching our very imagination of what is good and true and beautiful. Friends, here's the thing. Right now, more than ever, we need the power of resurrection set loose. We need to hear, do not be afraid, spoken to our own exhausted hearts. And we need to be rooted again in Easter hope. Because it is this hope that restores our faith and gives us courage to believe that God is not yet finished with us or with this world. Then Jesus adds one more instruction. Go and tell my disciples to go to Galilee. Galilee. Not Jerusalem, not the temple, not the halls of power. Galilee is the place of beginnings. The lakeshore, where he first called fishermen to follow. The hillsides where crowds were fed. The villages where the sick were healed and where outcasts were welcomed in. Go to Galilee means go back to the ordinary places where life happens. Go to the neighborhoods and workplaces and shelters and schools. Go where people are still struggling and dreaming and working for change, because that is where the risen Christ will meet you. There they will see me, he says. You see, friends, the resurrection wasn't just a one-time miracle. It's a movement, and we are invited to join. To go to Galilee, to go to our own St. Paul, our own communities, trusting that the same power that met those women on the road is at work when we do the things that Jesus did. The good news didn't die on the cross, and it didn't stay sealed in the tomb. It's alive. When we share food with the hungry, stand for justice, welcome asylum seekers, or sit with someone in their grief. In our own Galilee, when we feed and heal and welcome and forgive, we will see Jesus. And we will discover again that hope defeats despair and love always wins. Maybe that's why Easter is always full of surprises. Every year it sneaks up on us, kind of like Minnesota spring. Just when we've given up and dragged the boots back out and gotten that ice scraper out again this morning, just when we think that spring will never come, suddenly there's a crocus pushing through the crust. Easter keeps doing that. Showing up when we're not sure we can take one more headline, one more loss, one more long winter of the soul. Yes, we are living in a time when fear and fatigue could easily convince us to seal our hearts behind the tomb of cynicism. We are watching what happens when leaders cling to power by harming the most vulnerable, when war and violence get dressed up as holy, when cruelty is framed as strength. It can feel like empire all over again. And that is exactly where Easter does its best work. Because the good news is not that everything is fine or that we can fix it all ourselves. The good news is that Christ is alive in the midst of this mess. That the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is our hope. It helps us get by. It helps us hold on, hold together, and stand up until the kingdom comes in fullness. So we keep going to our Galilee, to St. Paul, even to Minneapolis, to the ordinary places where life happens. We join the movement and we live like resurrection people here and now. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Love has won. The good news is alive and in us and in this world. Thanks be to God. Amen.